6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Stephanie Kuo. Domestic violence cases have sharply increased in Texas. State figures show more than 214,000 wives, husbands, girlfriends, and others were injured or died last year at the hands of a family member. The Houston Chronicle reports that's an increase from about 193,000 in 2011. A recent study on domestic abuse in Dallas County showed that over 5 years, most victims didn't seek help before they were killed. Jan Longbein is CEO of the Genesis Women's Shelter in Dallas. She knows some may avoid going to a shelter because they're afraid.
Shelter is not the only answer. That before it ever gets that bad, places like Genesis have a counseling center, sort of that when the symptoms first, the red flags show and the symptoms first rear their ugly heads, then reach out for non-residential help for moms and for kids. No cost, no strings attached, but it possibly could prevent that homicide.
The Texas Council on Family Violence says the state continues to underestimate the reach and devastation of domestic violence. And now to think, and a well-known photographer, from President Donald Trump to Queen Elizabeth to Oprah, photographer Annie Leibovitz has photographed some of the most famous people in the world, and her iconic images of these celebrities have been included in Rolling Stone, Vanity Fair, Vogue, and countless other magazines. Today on Think, she talked with Chris Boyd about crafting her portraits.
I've been doing this, of course, you know, for over, it's hard to believe, 47 years, but a lot of the work is done on assignment, and when the photograph comes along or the opportunity comes along, I'm usually photographing people who are fairly, not successful exactly, but, you know, well-known in their field. You know, this is not a photograph that you're sort of standing behind a building with a long lens, you know, trying to be candid. The person comes to the sitting pretty well prepared or not prepared for presenting themselves on some level. So it's my job over all these years to not necessarily make it easy for them, but to present some ideas of how we might take the picture and if it could have some meaning or tell a story. I love when that happens. It's different every time. I mean, that's why I'm still doing it. Every single person brings something different to the table.
Annie Leibovitz's new book is called Annie Leibovitz Portraits, 2005 to 2016. She speaks tomorrow night at McFarland Auditorium as part of DMA Arts and Letters Live. This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. A new statewide network is monitoring earthquakes. In 2015, the Texas legislature authorized the network. It's called TexNet, and it's designed to help locate and determine the origins of quakes around the state. Peter Hennings is with the Center for Integrated Seismicity Research at the University of Texas at Austin. He talked with Public Radio's Texas Standard.
Research that's done with high-quality data carries the biggest impact. And that's the whole point of developing the TexNet earthquake monitoring system, is to develop high quality data that can then be used to build better subsurface models. With better subsurface models, the results will carry more weight.
Henning says the seismic stations are equipped with solar panels and data modems.
And there are 22 of these new stations spread out across Texas. They have the footprint, it's about the size of a pickup truck. But we also are deploying portable stations to areas of more concern, such as the Dallas-Fort Worth area, areas out in Pecos and South Texas. And we're going to be using 40 of those portable stations once they're all deployed by the end of this year.
In 2015, a 4-magnitude earthquake hit Johnson County near the town of Venus. It's the strongest recorded in North Texas. A new study finds the fault that produced that quake could create an even bigger one. Heather Deshawn is a seismologist at Southern Methodist University. She led the study, and she studied other earthquakes that had rattled North Texas. She talked about her earthquake research with KERA's Justin Martin.
Heather Deshawn, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Now, could you explain a fault? What exactly is a fault?
A fault is a weakness in the crust where you can have slip take place. And when one side of the fault moves relative to the other, you can generate an earthquake, which then propagates energy that travels through the crust. And we can feel it at our houses and in our places of business.
Now, your team also studied the earthquakes around Irving and Azle. How do those quakes compare to the Venus quake?
There's a lot of similarities between the earthquakes in the Fort Worth Basin. They all occur in what we call the granitic basement rocks. These are not the rocks that you see when you dig a hole in your front yard. However, if you went down to Austin and you were climbing around the hill country and you went to Llano and saw those big pink Texas rocks, those are what we're studying. Except down in the Fort Worth Basin, those are buried under a large amount of old sediments. And those sediments produce the oil and gas that we use for energy purposes in the area.
Studies say the quakes have been triggered by the underground disposal of wastewater from oil and gas operations. What exactly is wastewater disposal, and how does it contribute to these earthquakes?
You have these shales. It's a type of rock. They have very tight space where oil and gas is trapped in that rock, and it's really hard to get out. And what took place was a technological revolution that allowed horizontal drilling and the process of hydrofracking that created space in those rocks for the oil and gas to come out. Now, one of the ways you hold the cracks essentially open is to put water and sand down into the rocks and then pull that back up. And so that wastewater that comes out is the water that was put into the rocks during the hydrofracking process. That water needs to be disposed of safely. It's full of chemicals. It's full of the materials that come out of the rocks during the hydrofracking process. What the oil and gas industry does is they gather the water from multiple production wells. So you might have hundreds of production wells and then one wastewater disposal well where that water is placed back very deep into the earth.
The Railroad Commission of Texas regulates the oil and gas industry. And despite the research out there, the commission remains skeptical of the link between oil and gas operations and earthquakes. What do you make of that?
I personally have been a co-author on multiple peer-reviewed studies, one that includes a review of historical earthquakes in Texas, showing that man-made earthquakes in Texas have been documented since the 1920s. I personally don't think there's any argument over whether or not humans, and particularly the oil and gas industry, can cause earthquakes. The U.S. government ran experiments in the 1960s that showed that wastewater injection in particular could clearly induce earthquakes on pre-existing faults. Where some of the disagreement comes in is where you start arguing about one specific well causing one specific set of earthquakes.
We've seen fewer earthquakes in Texas in the past couple of years, especially last year compared to 2015. Do we know why?
We don't understand why. There was a delay from when wastewater injection activity in the Fort Worth Basin started to when we started seeing earthquakes. One interesting finding of the study we just produced on the 2015 magnitude 4 was that it wasn't, in fact, the first earthquake on that fault. Once we essentially used that earthquake and its aftershocks as fingerprints and scanned back through the 10 years of seismic data, we saw, in fact, that the earthquakes had been occurring on that fault starting back in 2008. The earthquake sequence wasn't starting in 2015. It's just that we started paying attention to it in 2015.
Heather Deshaun is a seismologist at Southern Methodist University. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
In the weather, mostly cloudy tonight with lows in the lower 60s. Tomorrow, it'll be a little warmer with temperatures in the mid-70s. It's 64 degrees in Dallas and in Fort Worth. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.